I want to talk a bit about prayer and how prayer is far more than words strung together. I'd like to start off with the observation that you can at times be in a point of so much physical or mental distress that you actually can't verbalize. You can't actually put the words together. Some of my dear mother's last words to me, and she died in my arms, were, "Duncan, I can't pray. Can you pray for me?" And that is, I think, at times how it is. And I think of Psalm 77:4, "I am so troubled that I cannot speak." And I think in the context, David's talking about prayer. And I do know what he means. Even if you are not in acute physical pain or whatever, I think that you do get to a point where at times you simply, as Paul says, we know not how to pray as we ought. And yet he says, having said that, we have this advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, who, as it were, reads our spirit. And otherwise, you see, the person who is, if you like, better at praying is the person who can verbalize things. And some people just can't really verbalize very well. Some people are very eloquent and can string words together very easily, both in their own minds and out loud. Other people can't, and they fumble around to express themselves. And they may feel that, well, I'm not very good at praying. Oh, dear, prayer, oh, what do I say? Well, take some comfort, because I think there's a big string of evidence in the Bible that prayer is more than words. And this is likewise a warning to those who can verbalize well, who can put strings of words together and pray at a moment's notice, apparently. There's a caveat to be sounded here that prayer is not just words. It's not just your verbalizing. When Hezekiah was sick and had problems all around with Jerusalem surrounded by armies, etc., Isaiah 38:5, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says Yahweh, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears." So God seeing his tears was hearing his prayer. So his prayer was, as it were, his tears. The situation he was in and the unexpressed feelings of his heart were his prayer. And I think that that is why in Romans 8, when Paul says, "We know not how to pray for as we ought," he says, "The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And I think the idea is that the Spirit there is what 2 Corinthians 3 calls Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit. But he's given this title of the Spirit because he absorbs, as it were, our spirit, our groanings, and our groanings become his groanings before the Father. He relays our spirit to the Father, and that, I suggest, in Romans 8, is why Jesus, in his mediation before the Father for us, is called the Spirit, because he hears our spirit's groan and interprets that to the Father. This is a case of interpreting our innermost spirit and our innermost groaning as our prayer, as our words. As I say, it's beyond verbalizing. You may be able to come out with all the right words, but where's your spirit? You know, your spirit can be absolutely empty. Or you may not be good at verbalizing, and you may think, "Oh, I can't pray. But in my heart, this is how I feel." Well, yeah, that's all right. That is how Jesus sees you, and that will be, as it were, interpreted to God. And likewise, our unexpressed desires are seen as prayers. I give you an example from Numbers 22, where Balaam says to God, "Behold, he tells God what Balak had said to him, that a people has come out of Egypt, covering the surface of the earth. Now come, curse me them. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them." He doesn't express to God actually anything. He just says, "Well, this guy came to me and asked me to come with him and curse God's people." He doesn't say, you know, "What should I do?" Pretty obvious he shouldn't have gone with the messengers. And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them." In other words, Balaam simply states what Balak has told him. He says that to God. He doesn't ask for anything. But God perceives this as a request for permission to go with these men and curse Israel. So God reads our unexpressed requests as prayers, our desires. He reads as prayers. In Romans 11, 2 and 3, we read that Elijah prayed to God for God to condemn Israel. He doesn't actually say that. All he's recorded as saying to God in that context is, I only am left. All of Israel are apostate. I'm the only one who's left faithful, which was not true. 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And that's in 1 Kings 19, verse 10. And that is interpreted by God in Romans 11 as Elijah praying to him to condemn Israel. Now, that is not what Elijah actually said, but it was pretty clearly what he was thinking and wanting in his heart. So, for good or for bad, God reads your desires as your prayers. Let's think of another one in Genesis 21. Hagar, she goes out into the desert and she runs out of water. I guess she loses her way. And she puts the child down under a bush and she says to herself, "Let me not see the death of the child." She lifted up her voice and wept. But then the angel appears and says that he had heard the voice of the boy. And the angel basically says, "I have come in response to your prayers and the prayers of the boy." Well, there was no prayer. She just wept at the idea of losing her child. And God read that as a prayer, but she didn't actually explicitly state anything. Another one, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Well, eyes and ears are part of a face. So, the eyes of the Lord are looking one way at the righteous, and another way at those who do evil. Now, the Lord's eyes and ears, then, are paralleled. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. So his seeing and his hearing are all part of the same thing. And as I say, he sees situations as if they are prayers. He heard the cry of Abel's blood. Well, Abel was dead and unconscious. Death is unconsciousness. Abel wasn't praying after he was dead, but he heard, as it were, the cry of Abel's blood. Well, James 5, we're told that the cries of the workers who weren't paid for their work entered into the ears of the Lord of the harvest. Well, were they actually praying to God? "Hey God, can you please get this guy to pay us? Can you please judge this guy for making us work for him but then not paying us?" I don't think so, but I think their situation was seen as their prayer. So, as I say, God is interested in the spirit. God's interested in what you're really thinking. And it's not a case of being smart or able to verbalize well. It's a case of having a spirit that cries out to him. And as I say, this is comfort to those who have problems verbalizing things, and it's also a warning to those who can verbalize very well. That is not all there is to prayer.